Good morning. My name is Emma Chico.
And my name is Ava Boland.
We are members of this year's confirmation class.
We both attend Hart Middle School.
We will be reading the fourth chapter of Matthew, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'"
Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put your love, your God, to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Emma and Ava, for reading the gospel this morning. Didn't they do an awesome job? Amen. Amen. I'm appreciative to our confirmation team for our confirmands participating as they are in various ways during worship, but also helping with Sunday school, helping with greeting and ushering in different capacities, and just experiencing this journey of serving God through our activities here at the church. So I am grateful. Let me offer a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, and the one who is with us in the midst of every experience of life. Amen. First thing I have to say is, what a beautiful sunrise this morning. Amen? Yes, a clap is good. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But to see this weekend has been such a nice hint of things that are coming. Now, next week is daylight savings time, so we'll be all really tired a week from today. But the sunshine and the blue sky is a sign of the start of spring, a start of spring-like weather, of beginning to think about what it means to be in this season of rebirth, the season of regeneration. And so it's just good to have the bright sun shining. So after worship, as you heard earlier, Reverend Carter say about our prayer connection team, you can stand in the sunlight and be prayed for, which I think is a really good thing. The sermon is titled, "Where Do You Start?" And you start at the beginning, right? Isn't that the Sound of Music? Isn't exactly what's recommended? You begin at the beginning, or you start at the beginning. And we're starting at the beginning, although we're in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1, which is four chapters into the Gospel of Matthew. So saying it, we're starting at the beginning, seems a little strange, but we are. Because encapsulated in those 11 verses that Emma and Ava read is this beginning fact, and something that we part of this week's reading in our devotionals. We serve a loving and a generous God. I want you to take a moment, just let that sink in. We serve a generous and a loving God. We worship a generous and a loving God. We follow a generous and loving God. And part of our journey of being followers of Jesus Christ, as we live and love like Jesus, as we grow as disciples, is that we also would be a loving and generous people, that we would be the image of God in our love and in our generosity. And this story of Matthew chapter 4, these temptations of Jesus after he's been baptized, is a bit of a stewardship story, but it's about Jesus' stewardship. It's about his commitment as the Son of God to be loving and generous. Have you ever heard this phrase, "If I only had blank, then I would be happy"? You've heard it before, right? It's kind of at the crux of our American way of life, right? More? What's the next thing I need to have? It kind of drives sort of our concept of being American sometimes. Sometimes it's the stuff, right? What did George Carlin say? That we build houses to put our stuff in, and then we just build bigger houses so we can put more stuff in them? The challenge of, if I only had this, then I would be happy. If I only had more money, if I only had more fame, if I only had more popularity, If I had more followers on Facebook or friends on Facebook, maybe more followers on Twitter, if more people liked my Instagram account, if I had a better car, a better house, I lived in a better neighborhood, I'd be happy. If I got to go on that vacation I really want to go on, then I'll be happy. You know that. It's in the back of our minds. It haunts us. It challenges us at times as well. And it's exactly what Jesus is experiencing as Satan meets him in the wilderness. These temptations are really just versions of, if I had this, then I would be happy. So right away, we see that Jesus is experiencing what we experience. Those same kind of temptations to put our trust in stuff, to put our trust in things that are not God's things. And so the first temptation, and it sounds really good too. They're not always bad things, but they're things that distract us. They're things that can get us away from the path. One of my favorite movies is the movie Insomnia. It was out a number of years ago. Al Pacino's in it. And the last line of that movie is my favorite line of the movie. He says, "Do not lose your way," to Hilary Swank's character. And that's kind of where we are in the story, is Satan is tempting Jesus to lose his way. And so the first temptation, turning stones into bread, it sounds great. There's hunger in the world. There's need. Why not just do this thing? Why not just do this one thing? Feed yourself. You're hungry. You've been in the wilderness for 40 days. You've got to be starving. You've got the power. What's holding you back? Come on. Now, I'm not talking about like white bread. We're talking about like the multigrain bread, the really healthy bread too. That's what Satan is encouraging Jesus to do. And Jesus refuses that temptation. He refuses that temptation to give in because he is loving and he's generous. It's because of us. He doesn't need that stuff to be happy. He doesn't need to make that choice for himself, which then takes him off the path of being obedient to God. All of a sudden, he's doing it for himself. It becomes a selfish choice and not a selfless choice. And we see here Jesus' obedience to God, his desire to be the Messiah for all of us. Not just seeking to satisfy a grumbling stomach, but what it means to be the Savior. He's not going to crumble over such a little thing. It's an important thing, but it's not to be his way. Satan is undaunted because physical needs are not the only things that can sway us, that can cause us to lose our way. The second temptation takes him to the temple, which is interesting, to the top of the temple. And Satan says, just pop off that temple. Just jump right off. We're not going to worry about a bungee cord. Just jump off. No parachute. You jump off. Because if you jump off, and this is where Satan uses scripture, because the devil knows the Bible. He says, you know, in Psalms, a long time ago, it was written that if you're to do that, the angels are going to swoop down and grab you. And you won't even hurt hair in your body. You won't even have a bruise or a bump. Just do it. And imagine the response. All the work you're doing, psh, no worries. They're all going to run to you after that. Just do it. Just do it. If only I could jump off the temple and not get hurt, then I would be happy. You know? And again, Jesus refuses. Because part of following, again, I'll say it, a loving and generous God is that there aren't any shortcuts. And Jesus is not going to take a shortcut. He's not going to take a shortcut of doing this action, which may draw people to him for a moment, but it will not create a relationship. It'll cause a stir, but it won't transform hearts and lives. And so Satan, again, is disappointed, and so he takes him to the highest mountain, Mount Clemens. Maybe Mount Pleasant. And he sets them there. And he says to Jesus, I'll give you all the nations of the world. I'll give you all that power. Notice this is the liar speaking too. He doesn't really have that kind of power, but he's going to say he does. I'm going to give you all these nations, all this power. If you would just bow down and worship me, they'll all follow you. They'll have no choice. Your work is done. It's so simple. It's so easy. But there's no obedience to God in that decision. And again, we see this love of Jesus, this love of God being pouring through Jesus as he refuses. He says, don't put God to the test. Don't do this. Don't take the shortcut. Don't lose your way, is what he's saying to Satan. I'm not going to lose my way. I'm going to continue to be who I am, whether I'm on the mountaintop and things are going awesome, or if I'm going through the valley of the shadows, I am going to choose God's way. I'm not going to walk a different path. I'm not going to do something that maybe satisfies me in a selfish way, but helps no one else. It's the power of this love of Jesus within him, that he sees his role and he sees his journey as the Messiah, as one that would bring life to you and to me and to the world. And he's not going to cut corners. He's not going to do anything that's going to deviate from following Jesus and for Jesus to follow God and to follow God so boldly and so radically. And at the end of the story, as Ava read, the devil leaves him. But it's not over yet. The temptations continue long after this. When we get to verse 11, the end of that, the angels come to wait on Jesus and to comfort him and sustain him. The temptations don't end. Those are just the ones that we know of until later in the story. But I stand here and I think about this incredible love that Jesus has for us, that he would do that at a point when it would be so easy to choose that direction, to do what Satan is saying. It's so easy, and it would benefit him, and it would eliminate the need for the cross. But yet, he loves us that much that he won't step away from that journey. He continues on that path. He continues walking for us, taking that journey to Jerusalem, to Mount Calvary. And that's that love, that amazing love, as we were singing it this morning, that love compels me in my family's journey in our giving story. You heard Leslie so beautifully tell her story. Ours is a similar story. We've just been awed, and I've been awed in my journey as a Christian and also as a pastor, in just that outpouring of God's love and God's generosity, God's willingness to meet us where we are and to provide with love, with community, and with the resources that we've needed in our lives. But then I see how God has been at work in this church through the generosity of you, the lives transformed, our young men and young women learning about Jesus Christ, making a commitment to follow him, and not just in the head, but in their lives, and how they act and react to the world around them, the witness that they offer. We give out of gratitude for Jesus' love and generosity, but we also give out of gratitude for the way in which Jesus' love and generosity pours through you and through this church into this community, and through our United Methodist connection, through the state, the nation, and the world. On that giving path that Leslie made reference to, we've been in that tithing path part and extravagant giving, which is above the tithe. We've been in those parts in our journey. We've made that choice because of God's love, because our desire is to be as generous as God. We want to live that. It's a way to express our faith and live our faith, and that's the choice that we make. And that we choose to make, not pressure, not guilted. It's something that we feel led to do. We pray about it. And we've noticed that as we have been on that journey and been on that part of the path, that God has indeed met us each and every time. God has provided when there have been difficulties. God's love and God's generosity has carried us as a family, carried me individually, as we've seen God's love and God's generosity carry each of you as well. And so I'm struck by this story because, I'll be honest, I've never preached on this story before as a stewardship sermon. Talking about Jesus' stewardship, it also talks about ours too, because this Jesus who's willing to do this for us, willing to be faithful, knowing the cost, the full cost of his faithfulness, it inspires. It humbles me because I don't know if I could make that same choice. And I know I haven't. I know I've fallen short. But I know that because he's made that choice, his love and his forgiveness holds me and claims me and gives me the opportunity to try again and to be, hopefully, that witness that I long to be, that disciple that I hope to be. And by loving and by being generous, I have an opportunity in some small way to be a sign of the presence of Jesus in the world around me. As Leslie said, some of you can give more than that, some maybe less, but it's where we are in our heart as we think about God's generosity upon our lives, God's love at work in our lives. How would we respond? How would we live out our faith as we reflect on that? And so the end of the sermon is really the beginning just once more. It's reflecting on the fact that we serve a loving and a generous God. We follow a loving and a generous God. And we have worshiped and are worshiping, and we will continue to worship this loving and generous God. May we ponder the ways this week of how God's love and how God's generosity has touched our lives, has shaped our lives, has provided for us, have given us the opportunity to shine as brightly as that sun is outside. Shine this love of God to the people around us. I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you that your Son made the choices he made. In those 40 days, he faced incredible temptations. And Lord, at each step of the journey, as Satan spoke to him, he refused Satan's way and he chose your way. He chose to be loving and he chose to be generous and he chose for our sake. So, Lord, help us to appreciate and be in awe of your love for us in Jesus Christ. This week, help us ponder what it means to know that you are loving and to know that you are generous and to know that your Son has chosen to be our Savior, to be our Messiah. In your holy name we pray. Amen. One of the ways on this first Sunday of the month is we celebrate communion. We get lost in, and I mean this in a positive way, we get lost in the story of Jesus' love for us, his sacrifice for us, his generosity poured out on the cross. As we remember in the Last Supper, Jesus breaking the bread, saying that this bread represents my body broken for you. He takes the cup and he says, let this cup represent the blood shed, this new covenant of love and peace and forgiveness that I am offering through my very sacrifice. Not something that Jesus did for himself, but something that he does for us and for the world. And so in just a moment, we'll have our liturgy up on the screen, and we'll invite you to respond in the words of bold. And I just want to offer this opportunity. During communion time, we have those prayer labels. If you've had a chance, I invite you to write down that prayer request during communion. And also, because we live in such interesting times, if you have a cold or a cough, I want to invite you maybe to sit this one out. You can come forward and just maybe have your hands down or put your hands in a prayerful way, and we're ready to offer you a blessing. If you feel comfortable this morning just taking a piece of the bread and not dipping into the cup, feel free to do so. Now, you can't just do the cup. Thank you. That's when I know where, if we have some Catholics here, Episcopalians, they'll say, but we want the cup. We want the cup. But I just want to invite you. We have been blessed by the wisdom and the good work of our health ministry team back in November, back when the flu season first started, to encourage us to do fist bumps and elbows. And I'm grateful for that because we want to be healthy, right? We want to be healthy for each other. So I'm inviting you to think about that as you come forward for communion. We're happy to offer you a blessing. If you want to just receive the bread, take the bread, that's fine. Jesus is going to be with us no matter how we celebrate communion. Amen? Amen. Let's begin with a great thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he gathered his friends together, and he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me for the forgiveness of sin. It is poured out for you. As often as you drink it, remember me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ
is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite those that are assisting in communion to please come up at this time. And we do practice an open table as United Methodists. You don't need to be a member of this church or of the United Methodist Church. We are simply asking that you would follow and walk in the way of Jesus, that you would experience that same grace that Jesus offers each of us to live out his love, to live out his grace, and to live out his peace in the world around us. We invite you to come to this table and receive this love of God. Amen.